This is a special series of Bible studies on the Gospel of Mark. It was done at the request of the Far East Broadcasting Company. The scripture reading is done by my good friend, Ken Brooks. Yes, this is the Emmaus Bible Hour, a program for you and your family, a time to study the Bible together. Who had been very, very bad was severely punished by her mother. Sobbing with pain and grief, she crept back into the very arms that had held her while punishment was administered. Her mother asked her, "Why do you run to me when I just punished you?" The little girl asked tearfully, "Well, where else would I go?" And as the mother held the youngster close, she thought of the times when she herself had disobeyed her Lord and chastening had come. She had crept back into the arms of Jesus, knowing that only there was their love that would not fail. This story reminds us of the Apostle Peter in our story today in the Gospel of Mark. He denied the Lord Jesus three times, but he also wept, indicating his desire to be forgiven. But as our lesson begins, Peter is so very sure that he will never deny the Lord. Mark 14 says, verses 29 through 33 in the New American Standard Bible.
"But Peter said to him, 'Even though all may fall away, yet I will not.' And Jesus said to him, 'Truly I say to you that you yourself, this very night, before a cock crows twice, shall three times deny me.' But Peter kept saying insistently, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you.' And they were all saying the same thing, too."
Peter was so sure of himself. "Even though all may fall away, I will not." The word for fall away here comes from the root word that means to put bait on a trap. And so this word has the idea of trapping someone. Satan was about to trap Peter. And Peter didn't realize how very crafty Satan is. Out on the Mount of Olives, the story continues in the garden.
"And they came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here until I have prayed.' And he took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch.'"
Authorities say that Jerusalem had no gardens. It was a crowded city. However, over on the Mount of Olives, some of the wealthy people had gardens there. We find that the Lord Jesus had access to one of these gardens, and he went there with his disciples. One writer comments, "When Jesus went to Gethsemane, there were two things that he sorely desired. He wanted human fellowship, and he wanted God the Father's fellowship. It is not good that man should be alone. The Lord had said in the beginning. In time of trouble, we want someone else. We don't necessarily want them to do anything. We only want them to be there. The Lord Jesus was like that. It was so strange that men who such a short time before had been protesting that they would die for him could not stay awake for him 1 hour. Yes, the disciples slept. At last the Lord Jesus said to them,
'Arise, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand.' And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came up and, accompanied by a multitude with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and elders. Now he who was betraying him had given them a signal, saying, 'Whomever I shall kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away under guard.' And after coming, he immediately went up to him, saying, 'Rabbi,' and kissed him."
The Lord Jesus was never taken by surprise. He knew exactly what was before him and when it would happen. And so the coming of Judas with this small army to take him did not in any way catch him off guard. The Sanhedrin had no regular troops, and so possibly they hired this multitude, which had swords and also clubs. Judas was to give the signal with a kiss. First, he called the Lord Jesus Rabbi. This was always the title he gave the Savior, never calling him Lord, as the other disciples did. And then he kissed him. The original word here indicates that he kissed him fervently, or as a lover kisses his beloved, which only goes to show the depths to which Judas had fallen. And so they took the Lord Jesus away. They led him away. Here's one little sidelight which we find only in the Gospel of Mark. Mark 14, verses 50 through 52.
And they all left him and fled. And a certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body. And they seized him. But he left the linen sheet behind and escaped naked.
Many feel that this young man was John Mark, the writer of this gospel. And somewhat like putting his initials at the bottom of a picture, he tells this about himself. Next, the Lord Jesus is before the Jewish council.
And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes gathered together.
The Sanhedrin was the supreme court of the Jewish people. It was composed of 71 members. It had some very strict rules as to the way its meetings were to be carried out. A careful study of this trial shows that a number of those rules were broken. They were not to meet at night. This was a night meeting. Each member had to give a verdict, starting from the youngest and going on to the eldest. There's no indication that this was carried out in this case. When they were going to give a death penalty, a night must pass so that the men might have a chance to change their minds and grant mercy. These men, we find from the record, sought for witnesses against the Lord Jesus. And of course, this was a biased action. The testimony of their witnesses did not agree. However, without waiting for a word from the Roman governor, we note in verse 65, they began to spit on him. They beat him with their fists. They slapped him. The irregularities in this trial are many. The chapter closes with Peter denying the Lord Jesus three times. We're so glad for that last verse of the chapter when Peter comes to himself and begins to weep bitterly. He comes to his senses. Someone has suggested that sin is a kind of madness. And real sanity comes when one turns to the Lord Jesus. The prodigal came to himself and then he returned home. Have you come to yourself and returned to the Lord? Or are you going on in the madness of sin? The choice is yours. Your decision determines your destiny.
To receive your will. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open.